honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, and our visit today was soon-to-be 98-year-old Al Gagliardi of Gilroy, California, one of three brothers who all served in World War II. After initially participating in the recapture of Kiska in the Aleutians, Al was on Iwo Jima at this time 77 years ago with the 147th Infantry Regiment.
Did you have to deal, while you were over there, with losing guys who you had gotten to know?
No, I didn't. There were some guys that, didn't. But I can't remember anybody real, real close. We didn't lose that many, I don't think, because we had the upper hand. And you know, they had so many caves that, we never could go in the caves, you know, just forbidden. And we didn't know where they were, where they go from one end of the island to the other.
Well, that's what a lot of guys who I've talked to who were there have shared, that it was a little unnerving because you didn't know where they were coming from. They could be on any side of you at any time, huh?
Yeah.
You mentioned how they might come in at night and steal your food, and there are some other stories I've heard of what they would do at night. How hard was it to sleep at night there?
No, we had our guards all out. But, I mean, you still, you know, they could still, you haven't got all the food around you. It's all around over here. I remember one night we had the Lester bag, you know, where you get your water. We used to get the water at nighttime because it come out of the Lester bag. It's still hot, you know, they're just distilling it and getting the salt out of it. And one night, all of a sudden, everybody started hollering and yelling, running and jumping. The Jap got in line with us, going to get his water. And he said, don't shoot. God. And pretty soon, we got calmed down and said, okay, start over again. Yeah, kind of funny, you know.
What was the hardest thing for you to deal with out there?
Over there? I guess just staying alive. That's about all. You know, we had a good force, and we didn't ever feel that they'd be able to penetrate or hurt us. So it wasn't that bad. We just said, they can't touch us, by golly. We're too powerful.
And did what you experienced on Iwo Jima help prepare you for what you'd see at Okinawa?
Well, Okinawa, we didn't really have to produce. Came to an end, and that was it. I don't know. We never really were scared, or somehow we were crazy, you know. You're nuts. You don't see them, a mass of them, you know. Might be one somewhere there. Don't even see them hiding in the dirt. And, you know, sometime when you think of it, you're taking a kid out of high school, hasn't shot a jackrabbit, and you say, kill him. You know, that's tough. Well, that's hard. You got to, people don't understand that. They think you just, you know, shoot, but very difficult.
Yeah, and those of us who hadn't been in that situation wouldn't understand it unless you shared it with us like you did. So thank you for sharing. Do you remember how you found out that your brother Sal had been killed in Europe?
Yeah. Oh, boy. It was raining a storm, April 5th, I think so, yeah. It was raining, and we were dug in, me and another guy, two-man hole. It was raining, holy cats. The word had come down the line from the headquarters. Gagliardi headquarters, Gagliardi headquarters. Hey, final for you. I said, well, they can go to hell. I ain't going on the water and talk to somebody to say, did you get your shoe packs yet? I mean, hell with him. Gonna be some stupid question. And about that time, we had a, you know, cover over us too, because it wasn't serious crime being fought there. And in jumped this chaplain. There's enough room in there, you know. We dug a big double foxhole and put a bunch of covers over it and trash. And, I saw this guy. Oh, boy. Now I'm in trouble. And he asked name and mentioned my brother. I said, it's my brother. And he said, oh. So he told me he was killed next. And God, that was a real sock in the jaw and my belly, geez, rhymy. And you know, the thing about it was, he came in and said, Gagliardi, and he said, your brother was killed, and, you know, my brother. Which one, huh? Which one do I want to see still alive? Which one do I want to see dead? Well, oh, God, hard, you know. You're trying to say, I hope it's not, well, I hope it's not him. I hope it's not him. And oh, Jesus, God. I just, you know, in myself was trying to say, which one would I, until he finally told me, you know. And then he said goodbye. Gosh, that was terrible.
I can't imagine. I mean, you're trying to stay alive, and then they hit you with something that heavy. Yeah. Over time, were you able to find out more about what happened to Sal?
No, not really. I didn't. But somehow, I think my sister wrote me and told me Sniper had shot him. Yeah, they fought a different war there. They had their brass on them and all that stuff. We didn't do that. You didn't know a private from a general. And maybe you saw, battle with General Patton. There's a heavy artillery attack. And one of the guys says, wonder who in the hell is in charge of this guy. He said, damn if I knew. And he was talking to the colonel. You're not going to say nothing.
I'm not trying to put thoughts in your head. It's just an honest question. I'm just wondering, because it's been a long time now. We're talking almost 77 years since that happened. Have you ever thought over all those years what Sal might have done with his life if he got to come home like you and your brother Mike?
Yeah, well, I never gave it that kind of a thought, I guess. I just gave it a thought that that's the way God figured it out. No way to change it. I just wish they would dress different and look like the rest of us, you know.
Yeah, you're saying because they were in their full dress uniforms, he was a little easier to spot for a sniper?
Well, sure, you see a bunch of metal, shoot it. We'd do the same thing, see a Japanese, a nice big summary sword, pow. That's it, buddy, you're dead. Germany was the same way. They had metal all over because they were like aristocrats, you know.
Your brother was one of more than 406,000 Americans who were killed in World War II. What should those of us around now know about them? What's the significance of their sacrifice, or how should they be remembered all these years later?
All you can say is that everybody was committed and God helped everybody.
And you said something else there I want to follow up on, because you said you were a machine gunner, right? And from what I've heard, usually the machine gunner is one of the first ones the enemy's trying to take out.
You don't give away your position. You're dead. I remember even on the Aleutians, I was a third gunner on a BAR, and that made them carrying ammunition for the first gunner. Bob was his name, yeah. And I said, Bob, he was here, and then I was here with the ammunition. And I said, Bob, there's something on the left there. When do you get a burst? He said, I'm not giving my position away. He was pretty smart. Yeah, you gotta be careful.
If it's too tough to talk about, I'm not trying to press you or prod you, but I'm just imagining that if you were operating a machine gun over there at those kind of places, that there might have been times where the enemy lobbed some grenades towards you or sent artillery your way or machine gun fire of their own at you.
Yeah, well, artillery goes everywhere.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Gosh. You can't, some of the guys had one fellow that good friend of mine lived about 3/4 mile from us down near the back country there. And he was a sergeant. He was dug in a hole like you're supposed to be. What are you going to do when an artillery shell comes in your hole? It's my hole, get out. Put him in a box about that big. They named the post after one VFW post there, John Berry. He was the first guy killed in the war. It actually was kind of a tizzy-lish. Shouldn't have even been there. We all said at the beginning, the hell is in him here? Should be back typing letters or something. And one artillery shell came in there. Boom, the kingdom hell. He said, gee whiz. And he put his body in a box. He said, fit in a little box. Shoved it all in there, capped it down. That was it.
Did you ever think something like that might happen to you?
Oh, yeah. Sure. I said if it did, so I'm in the heavenly kingdom. That's the way I looked at it. I'm not going to be stopped.
And I know that this seems like a real tough question to answer, but maybe it is something you've given some thought. Because, you know, I'm sure there was more than one close call there in the Pacific. And then you spent 30 years with the sheriff's department around here. I'm sure there's some other situations that weren't exactly a picnic for you. How do you explain the fact that you're still here at almost 98 years old and you can still tell me all these stories?
Well, God willing, that's the way it is. You do the best you can. You follow all the rules. You don't try to be a hero. Just do your part. You're going to be all right.
When you think back about almost 98 years, is there something that you would say you're most proud of or most thankful for?
I know I might say blew the whistle or something. That's why I got Bronze Star. I'm kind of proud of that because those guys were sitting decoys, you know. They could have been wiped out real easy. Yeah, you got to put it all together and figure, hope we did the right thing.
Was that on Iwo Jima, the Bronze Star incident?
Yeah.
You've got 10 grandkids, and was it 26 great-grandkids? 28 great-grandkids, not to mention your children. A lot of people that didn't live through World War II, that wouldn't have been born if you didn't come home from World War II. What do you think they need to know and remember and pass on about you and 16 million other Americans who fought that war?
Well, sure, it matters. That's something mankind does. They don't know how to settle their differences. Stupidity, that's what it is. They can't figure out any other way. Both sides are obsessed with winning and beating the other guy. That's the way we are. We're going to fight to the end. Never bothered any of us when they said coming after us or we're going after them. Doesn't matter. They better be prepared because we're...
If there's anything else I didn't ask you about that you think we ought to know, feel free. But I don't want to forget to say thank you. Thank you for serving our country and thank you for telling us that story.
You're welcome. Thank you, guys. Wish we didn't have to do it, but what's done is done.
Were you still out there when the Japanese surrendered, or where were you?
Yeah, I was still there. You know, I couldn't believe it. We just dropped that atom bomb. Somebody came along and said, hey, Alan, I dropped an atom bomb and the war's over. I said, oh, you're crazy? We got nothing that big. Well, the biggest thing I knew of then was like that 5-ton bomb or something we had. Could blast out a big piece. I said, what the hell's the matter? The biggest thing we got, 5-ton. Where do you get it? Atom bomb. I just couldn't believe it. To think about it, people don't understand, you know, geez, to be at a bomb that big, the big as that was, gosh.
Are you one of those who feel like that might have saved your life because you didn't have to invade Japan?
Well, I don't know. I think whoever had that would have used it. They'd have had it, and we'd have had to go along with it, too.
And what was it like to come home and see your family again?
Oh, great. Hey, guys. Yeah, man. I come home, and you know, those days, people around here anyway, they didn't lock their doors or nothing. The bus dropped me off right in front of my house, and the back door was open. I walked in, and I heard my sister holler out, we're in the living room here. They always had the door unlocked. And anybody knock on the door, come in. And I walked in there. They see me. Oh, it's you. Yeah, it was me. I'm back here to give you a hard time. Yeah, and I had a little barracks bag, but that's all I owned. That's the only possessions I had. Funny feeling.
All these years later, he can claim a lot more. Not just the memories, but more than 74 years of marriage to his wife, Betty, blessed with 3 children, 10 grandchildren, 28 great-grandchildren. After he came home from the war, he became the first commander of VFW Post 6309 in Gilroy. Later, he led the American Legion there as well. Sheriff's deputy, volunteer firefighter, the list goes on and on. I'm just thankful we got to spend this hour with Al. Don't forget to find photos and a short video with Al at hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. That is all the time we have today, but thank you so much for listening. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.